Staff report.
Okay, I think our recruitment just closed for a compliance officer. We only had how many applicants?
Three.
We had three applicants. And what we're asking for, again, we're doing the comp study. We may not be paying enough. We're looking at somebody that wants to be a compliance officer for IRS regulations. So we are going to look at that and see if we are going to reopen it, or we're looking at that. We have a recruitment going for an ad.
Can I ask about that compliance officer?
Yes.
I was just trying to figure out, is that intended to be a full-time job?
Yes.
Are we going to share their duties like with Tim's staff or something? Because I don't see compliance officer being a full-time job at our size. And I take that from people who hold that title with even bigger funds that don't do it 40 hours a week.
We will make sure they're busy.
That's not my question. I mean,
isn't an investment-only position?
Didn't say it was, but
in terms of investment compliance,
it's more benefits compliance.
Like
it's the two very lengthy tax compliance policies, making sure that those are being complied with and implemented correctly.
Okay, but the peer group I'm saying out there doesn't. The compliance officer usually has other duties. And so I'm not where we got our facts from. Are you aware of what other, you know, do other counties have a compliance officer who's fully focused that, or is they
Alameda
sharing?
Alameda is hiring one currently.
To do nothing else but that, or are they going to do something else?
Well, part of PEPRA allows the employer, or requires the employer, to now audit, and that's going to be part of this function too. The employee, yes.
How many applicants would you like to get? I mean, three isn't comfortable. If you'd have gotten 5, 10, 20.
If all three are qualified, I might be comfortable with it, but I don't know yet. It just makes me realize that we've got a job. We really need to have it filled with somebody who's knowledgeable, and I get three applicants. It's either the way we wrote the job and it's too closed in and we may need to broaden it,
okay,
or it may be the salary isn't quite enough.
Yes, so are you able to see what Alameda is offering?
They're working with us on developing theirs at the same time.
Got it.
So,
do you know how many applications they got?
They aren't there yet.
Oh.
They just began the process.
Does LA have a compliance officer?
I believe Orange County does.
What about Los Angeles, the biggest fund there is in the state?
We have an intern.
Most of the systems are developing in this year, but we can check with La Sierra too and some of the others.
What was the salary range?
And compliance.
Is it 10 top? What was it? 110 at the top.
And unrepresented?
No.
They
would be unrepresented.
I don't make anywhere near that.
I might know some people that might be interested
in that. Well, we have the job description. Although it did close, we're not sure yet if we're going to reopen it.
Is it on the website?
No, but we can get that to you.
It is still there?
Okay.
Well, no, it was.
And that, I take your.
Okay, so usually it is there, but we can get you a copy. We're also recruiting for an admin HR coordinator, and I believe we have over how many applicants? Over 78 on that one, so they like to do that, I guess.
We paying them only 90?
I'm not sure where that one is.
I was just wondering about the pay thing.
We're working on the assistant general. I'm sorry. We're working on the assistant general counsel position description and should have that fairly soon. Have contracted with Ralph Anderson and Associates for the total compensation study. And we'll be meeting with them to kick it off tomorrow. I'm hoping to get results on that back to the board in September. And that's all for me, Karen.
We are still in the process of reviewing pay items beyond base pay for PEPRA members, for new members coming into the system, in terms of looking at some of the pay items that it's been brought to our attention that we need to relook at them. For example, we have bilingual pay, which is something that was discussed at the board meeting as something that needs to be clarified and verified, whether that is in fact paid to everybody in the same classification or not, and whether it's paid on a permanent basis, ongoing and recurring, as opposed to on a temporary basis. And we've on that item received verification that we would need to change our initial analysis that we presented to the board back in April on that item, at least when it comes to the employers who have that pay item, who are mainly the county and the courts, I believe. So we'll have some items like that to bring to the board's consideration sometime soon.
Do you have the list of what CalPERS is approving?
No, CalPERS?
Yeah.
CalPERS hasn't issued anything since their circular back in December where they said they would issue regulations regarding the special compensation pay items. So there's all of those special items that are paid above base pay.
Well, remember, we were kind of keying off of them a little bit back then. And we were under the impression that they weren't going to have any, and then that circular came out, which kind of indicated they were going to have some.
That they might, yeah.
And I don't know. My understanding was they have issued some. They have, but I don't know for sure. I didn't see the paperwork, but I clearly got the impression that they have moved off of just regular pay, and they are moving to special items that will be included. And I thought they'd issued some, but I'm... could they have issued them to the cities, those city
they
units?
They issued that circular in December to the employers that are part of their system saying, continue to collect contributions. We're going to continue to collect contributions. You continue to pay contributions on all of these pay items. We, CalPERS, will issue at some point in the future a regulation that tells you exactly which ones are and aren't included. Since then, they haven't issued anything. We have seen their board meeting where their staff, their deputy CEO, reported to the board that they don't anticipate having regulations until at the very earliest September. And they talked about the fact that they are currently collecting contributions that they may or may not be looking at in the future, making adjustments to those, depending on whether the pay items are in or out.
These are previous items they've always in the past collected?
In the past, for classic members, pre-PEPRA members, they did include those under a special statute for special compensation for CalPERS. All of those above base pay items were considered special compensation authorized by CalPERS to be included in measurable compensation.
But the PEPRA members are getting the, what should we say, enhanced also at this point, correct? They're still taking contributions. They're
taking contributions on all of those special compensation pay items for CalPERS, correct?
We are as well.
No.
We are not.
Okay.
At the moment, our employers are only reporting to us base pay. Do you want to make a comment?
No, you covered it.
One other item before I'm sorry, is it on that?
Just one point of clarification. So there, if I remember correctly from the last discussion, there is not anything that requires us to follow what CalPERS does, correct?
Correct.
It is wholly the decision of this board on its own to make a decision on that.
Correct.
Correct.
One other item before I turn it over to Tim. At the July 24th meeting, we will have Siegel here presenting our annual evaluation. So our report, I think, has taken the record as the longest report of any of them. So we should be proud of that fact.
When do you think we might actually get that in our hands?
A week before the meeting.
So
when it's in draft form going back and forth, it'll be probably here Tuesday or Wednesday before the meeting, the week before.
I will not be at that meeting.
Okay. Typically, what we do is present the report, and we do not adopt contribution rates until the following month. But because I'll be gone at that August meeting, I would prefer to adopt contribution rates in September, if that works for the board. There's no rush. These don't go into effect until July 2014.
So we will have some time with the report before we get to the meeting.
Where you're adopting contribution rates. Yes, absolutely. You'll have the report a week before Siegel presents it.
Now
we ask questions, but we won't adopt contribution rates until the first part of September.
And that would be the first meeting that this you're going to try to get a different date? Which meeting in September are you looking at?
It'll be September 4th.
Right after the holiday.
Yeah, on these rates, retirement system sectors. There's really no deviation here. We don't have any choices when it comes in. We didn't give him alternative.
No, not at all. But typically, this changed a few years ago. We present the report at one meeting, gives you time to absorb it, and then you adopt the rest of the next meeting.
There's really nothing you do because the assumptions were already voted on and set, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay, I mean, it's like academic. It's, you know, the decisions we have already been made.
2 days.
And
it's an indicant revision.
There's really nothing to debate. I mean, that's unless I'm missing something. We've had things where there was a choice, like, you know, here's one set of assumptions, here's another, but this time we have not that. So
correct.
Well, that's like one step back.
We've already been there.
And this
right.
is just putting the numbers, putting assumptions in the
frame. We've already made the equation. We're just looking at the outcome numbers.
Correct.
Just a couple quick updates. The Long Wharf 4 and the VESCO 3 fund documents were all executed at the end of June, so we're all taken care of there on our value-add real estate. At the July 24th board meeting, we're going to have a staff recommendation for follow-on real estate funds from Sigular Guff and Oak Tree, so look for that in the next board pack, and we'll have presentations from both firms there. Aether is still pending operational due diligence. We have a draft contract from the operational due diligence folks that we need to fine-tune and hopefully get that set up in the next week or so here. And we'll do the board on-site probably towards the end of August at this point.
You have presenters at that meeting also, so the 24th could be an extensive
24th, we're going to have Sigular Guff and Oak Tree both here to present, as well as Ceradex and Emerald doing their annual updates.
And evaluation. So
Jesus. It'll be a full one.
We'll issue the Y'all Come letter. We'll have Siegel first, take some breaks, and then have our presentations.
That's why we had PIMCO come today, because you didn't want them in that meeting as well.
Okay.
Outside.
Let me offer a cautionary tale torn from the pages of one of our sister systems. We've talked, and I've spoken with you from time to time about the Brown Act and the Public Records Act, and be careful what you say and be careful what you write down, because it's public record even if you use your own cell phones and even if you use your own iPad, you know, now that we're going electronic, you'll be taking notes on things. These are all public records. When you do that in your capacity as a board member, what you write, regardless of where you write it, is a public record. And last night, as an example of that, a large organization in a sister county launched a public records request of half of the board members asking for their phone records and their email exchanges among the board members over the last 6 weeks. Okay? They're going to have to respond to that. So be careful what you write. I've been talking about Brown Act serial meetings and getting together and emails or meetings as well. If we want to have another conversation like this, you know, maybe we should do that. But I just want to give you a heads up that this is real, that it's not just hypothetical. And when you take notes and you communicate with each other outside these board meetings, that can be made public. And it's going to get in the press, and it's going to get very, very ugly in this other county.
Why are they doing it? What's going on?
It has to do with potential communications among board members regarding actuarial matters.
Mm-hmm. Serial meeting charge, isn't it?
Serial meeting issues, and the stakes are very high in this business. But you just need to be careful with what you put in writing and who you speak to, and you know. So I just offer a cautionary tale, and if you have any concerns or any confusion about this, at some meeting that we're not going till 6 p.m., you know, sometime soon, maybe we need to talk about it again, especially for people who are new to the board, and you know, this isn't all that intuitive sometimes. That as you sit here and you use your own personal cell phone and you send OSER's related business, whether you're texting or voicemail or whatever it is, those are public records. You're public officials. And I just want you to be cautious so that you don't get sidetracked or embarrassed or otherwise. It's all public, folks.
When you erase text and email and stuff, how do they get those? Do they go subpoena you, then subpoena the provider to get it?
It's just you, and if you've erased it or you think you've erased it, if somebody wants to go further, it's still available.
Oh, yeah.
Through the providers.
And then they'd have to subpoena the provider to get your records?
It's not, well, they can't get it from the provider. It has to be a subpoena in a lawsuit. Public Records Act doesn't require a subpoena. It's just a letter. Dear Gabe, send me your telephone records for any communications that you've had with anybody on the board or staff of this system.
You basically would get a bill with this phone number, so that's all you'd be providing. What about emails?
Same thing.
If it's on your computer, so you can give it to them, you already erased it, it doesn't really matter.
Well, if it, you know, depends on how far they want to push. If it's erased, then it no longer, you don't have something you can give them.
Right.
You know, we can talk another time if it becomes important about whether you have to go to the effort of going to a specialist to recover it from your your disk drive or something like that, or memory. But anyway, just a call. I didn't mean to put a damper on the morning's activities.
Oh, no, festivities?
But no, this no. is a real thing. No. This is a real thing. Right. We've talked about
way
it.
Way too late of a warning. But
not my first.
Well,
one.
Seriously, folks, I just tell you.
Not my first.
But on the issue, like, of the emails, you know, mine would be subject to, because my work email is how I do a lot of business. I mean, everybody. But if I had a retirement email account and kept it to then, would I be able to protect my work email because I would say it was all funneled through the retirement email?
Sort of it depends on what was asked for. But if retirement let's put it this way. If somebody asks for all your communications relating to the retirement board activity, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where they reside. It doesn't matter whether they reside on the county server or on Yahoo or on Gmail or your personal. It doesn't matter where they're found. What matters is the subject matter relates to board business.
I assume the attorney-client privilege still applies, however?
Yes, it would.
So communications by and between board members and counsel, for instance, are not subject to the Public right. Records Act? In most instances, anyway.
But not between
but
board
members. But the attorney-client privilege does apply. It's one of the privileges. There are others that are recognized.
Right,
as
I'm just thinking that one. Yeah, but by and between board members, no, it's...
Okay, well, I just, you know, it gets to the point where you say there is nothing. Then they wish to push it and investigate. And, you know, it's pretty weak statement if I say, well, my work has got nothing to do with that. But if you have a dedicated email, do you know what I mean, where you're saying, yeah, I do it on retirement. You can, you know, see the server, see whatever it is. Then I think you keep them away from phishing or...
Yeah, it's easier if you segregate. I mean, you know, I would recommend to the board members that if you want to have email exchanges that relate to Cicera business, that you set up an account for that purpose. Yeah. We can all set up a Gmail account if you want to do that, and never use your personal account. Then you never have to search through your personal account. Just say this box over here is for my board business, and just use it. So that's a lot easier. But even still, if you're out there sending messages to John Phillips about board business.
Phone calls only.
Phone calls only.
Landline.
Going to get you into trouble.
Personal tone conversation.
Visual. Visual stuff.
Just
visual.
Hands.
I like that.
Third base coach stuff, you know, slide.
Yeah. Visual.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to bring up.
Trustee comment?
I will not be going to Millman. I just checked my book, so I can't. I will not be going to Millman, so take me off the Millman. If somebody else wanted to go to that, they can.
Any other trustee comment?
Carpenters Community, we've checked it. Okay.
Well, you were going to ask. It has
I'll
been on
her.
The board already.
I'll ask
it has been on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
Nobody has anything else to say? Let's all go home.
Walk with our feet.
Let's have a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Hey.
Second to the motion.
Get me out of here.
A second to the motion.
Okay, so there is.
You want to grab lunch first?